$20,000 cargo was hauled back. That was when the longshoreman refused to handle a shipment owned by DiGiorgio. January 2nd, 66, Chavez will face rant on...
I remember well that day. It was the first time. It must have been on the last day of the year.
Yeah.
But it was reported on the first in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those were DiGiorgio grapes, were they not?
On the edge of the field here?
No, the grapes that were sent back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was... At that point, you know, we're right in the midst of the Chinle boycott. So that was sort of a little skirmish that we set up, you know, just to keep them guessing. Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Just put it there. Just so it's on top of the plastic liner.
Yeah.
And, I think Joe, I remember Joe telling me months later, you know, that there was a tremendous reaction from the workers and from the company, everybody, when the grapes came back. And the boss said, you know, that we had no regard for the industry, you know, we were savages, you know, just,
yeah.
They were really bitten, you know, but not as hard as they were later on.
Yeah, I know. Well, the let's see, that would be, God, January. They didn't care particularly which grapes they were, that they just were stopping, not trying to stop all the grapes.
All the grapes.
It just happened to be the DiGiorgio.
Yeah.
At the Fresno district of the Methodist Church, their panelists will be Chris Hartmeyer, Eric Thor, agriculture economist Thomas Lindemann, etc. January 4th.
Okay, that was the day when we had that meeting in Visalia at the Methodist Church, I believe. And
Grant and you.
Mm-hmm. Chris gave a very good speech, and I was very mild. You know, I didn't feel any challenge. You know, I got up and I saw them. You know, old man sitting there. You know, with suits. I didn't feel any particular challenge. You know, I was bored. I just went and I just talked about. It was a very low key thing. You know.
Yeah.
I went there because Chris invited me to come. You know, but I didn't want
to
go.
Yeah, you weren't out to win any big laurels debating Grant.
No. I you know, I said, that's not, you know, we're not going to win the strike by that.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I was very, there was a radio interview, long radio interview afterwards. Porterville station guy called me outside his car and by radio, you know, radio, telephone, whatever you call it. He interviewed him, went direct, you know, a long interview. And he made a comment at the end of it. He said, well, you're not as fiery as fire-eating as...
As much of a fire-eater as I thought
you'd be. As I thought you'd be, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't have horns and tail either. But Chris said afterwards, he said, you were very modest or very moderate. I forgot what he said.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, I usually think accept that, you know. I want to get back to Delano and go on with the strike.
Yeah.
Filipino residents, contractors, crew foremen, and workers who refuse to participate in the strike are considering setting up an organization of their own.
Mm. That's the beginning of the
Kern to Larry.
Kern to Larry Independent Homeowners Association.
Yeah.
And most people in the organization weren't worried, you know. I was.
Yeah.
I was worried, and I think I spent several days trying to map out a, not in writing, but just in my head, you know, a campaign, how to you know,
screw them up.
Outmaneuver them. And it worked well. It's worked well ever since. But I didn't want to put anything in writing. I didn't want to make a conscience, you know, step-by-step rule, because they have to be flexible. And I thought if I went and told off the members, this is how we're going to get them, you know, that it would be unbinding, you know, that you have to, you know, consider each and every situation. So what we have done is we'll just meet the situation as it arises. But it hasn't been by accident, it's been by planning, you know. But, you know, I don't make it public, and we don't vote on it, and we just, you know, when every time a situation arises, it's met. And basically, we ignore him to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of days ago, 3 days ago, Tony put a picket line up on Mendoza. You know what he did? He just gave him about $1 million.
Who did that?
Tony Arendain. They hung him in effigy. Bad. No. Yeah. You don't fight in that way, you know. You don't take the ball is the grower, you don't take away your eyes from that ball.
That's right.
Everybody else is just, you just get him out of the way just enough so you can, they want to obscure your goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
So was he paid at his house or something?
No, he spoke over there in Texas.
Oh.
About 40, 50 people picketed him, you know.
Yeah.
Calling him bandido, and they were shouting on TV and everything. He was... That's what the opposition wants.
That's right. Well...
You don't make a name for him.
Uh-uh. No. Yeah. But he screwed up every time he went down there. Well, better than screwed up here.
Yeah.
January 6, 66, Wingrove will preside over strike hearing. Judge Wingrove, Kings County. That's on the injunction. Georgia injunction. January 6, groups plan merger will give Delano strike story. That's the Citizens for Facts and the Delano Community Citizens League. January 6, 66, Reverend James Bazard was...
You want to talk on that?
Mm-hmm. No, I was... We had some of our people going there, you know. We get some of the girls, the younger girls, you know. And we started to dress them up, you know, and send them into the meetings. So good, you know, bring a full report back.
Uh-huh.
And come and they report to me, and I'd sit down, you know, and I just question them, you know, about what they said, and just to get an idea. And I could very soon get an idea of what was happening inside. Very, very evident that they didn't have any organization. Very evident that there was very amateurish, you know. But what I just asked, you know, some of the things that you and I would know, and to indicate whether they were either reading the ball or they were, you know. And the first part I got back, I said, we're in good shape, you know. These are amateurs, you know,
yeah.
Nothing to fear.
Two nothings merged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Criticized for the Delano stand by Bishop Bullinger. January 7th, Delano grave.
Mm. Who was criticized?
Bazard.
Oh, yeah.
That was sad. The old bishop was... feeling the strings, those long, long strings that come with the money from the gourds we're pulling.
Is pledged by rabbis, Rabbi Stephen Forstein, Richmond, and Western Association of Reformed Rabbis. January 8th, 66, Epifanio Camacho, Emmanuel Rosas were jailed by Delano police for investigation in the attack on two grape pruners in a field. January 9, 66, strike panel talk brings no accord. That was Caesar and Chris against Alan Grant and Eric Thor. January 13, Bakersfield rabbis opposed religion strike backing. January 16, 66, federal judges ordered...
Yeah. The only rabbis in the country. I suppose the only rabbis, they have a distinction, the only rabbis in the world to oppose the strike.
Right.
That's quite a distinction.
Yeah.
January 19, Cesar Chavez has offered proof that some growers and labor contractors are importing workers from as far away as El Paso and Juarez. January 20th.
And we knew they were doing it, you know, but they, the terrorists are mostly, generally begin to do it in an organized fashion and begin to pay for services for the first time. See, most of the growers here have never paid. Like, Jamar didn't pay a damn dime, you know, for all that strike-breaking service they got. This is, see, one of the things that we haven't learned how to handle yet, and that's that little labor contractor or crew foreman who brings in his people in order to break the strike. Yeah. He is the one that's, and he and the growers, you know what? If the growers have to pay for strike-breaker service, recruitment, it'll be great, you know. They don't pay for it, but they don't have to pay, and that's, you know, it's bad.
Yeah.
We have to change it so that
the Georgia was paying for it, though, weren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure, they were paying for it.
They didn't have the same.
No. They were not
organized.
They were dried up.
Yeah.
They were dried up, and you didn't have the organization that Jamar had.
No.
But the other growers have the organization. The Georgia was the only one that didn't have that in Delano.
Really?
And Chandley. All the others
depend on contractors or crew pushers.
They had their camps and they took their own people, and it was a very bad situation. People would recruit, they'd come, they stay 2-3 days, they'd leave, you know, sometimes they come and they get to the camp and they get their stuff and they start walking to the lane. They just got a free ride. A lot of them do that, you know.
Yeah.
Luis Caracatan stated that turkeys donated to the NFW are being used to entice pickets to join the picket line. Workers are joining the picket line. December 21st, Harry Bridges says West Coast longshoremen may not refuse to load ships with grapes from the Delano area.
Okay.
Sam Cagle had ruled that the grape strikes picket lines at West Coast docks are not legitimate under the terms of the longshore agreement. January 21st, 66.
Harry liked that one. How like that for solidarity?
Yeah. From rival meeting of the newly organized Kern Tulare Independent Farm Workers. That was Doug Adair, Jane O'Hara, and Peggy McGoolan. Agreed to go out.
Peggy McGoolan.
What happened?
They went to their meeting. They went to the meeting of the newly organized group.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Please advise them it was a private meeting. January 26, 66, great boycott picketing has started in 46 U.S. cities. 46 cities? Hey. This announcement was made by Reverend James Drake. January 26, 66, NFWA charges aid is denied workers.
And the boycott is beginning to
report. Prepared by Gonzalez and Ida Casino. Accusing Tulare County Welfare Office of discrimination against the farm workers. January 27th, state lifts ban on Delano grape pruner referrals. January 28th of 66, DeGiorgio sues ILWU asking damages of more than $200,000. January 29th, 1966, funeral will be held for NFWA aid, Terrones. January 29th, 66, DeGiorgio picket ban is lifted by Superior Judge Wingrove of Kings County. That was trying to get a ban against picketing dockside loading. February 2nd, 1966, Farm Union loses loudspeaker plea because the Board of Supervisors in Tulare County didn't take any action on the request. February 2nd, a federal judge has ordered longshoremen to load grapes. February 2nd, migrant ministries will be reviewed by the State Council of Churches.
Is that recording?
Migrant ministry role and strike is hit by Episcopalian diocese in San Joaquin. February 4th, Union didn't sign up his claim. Cross that, strike that one. February 4th, 66, Steve Allen visits picket lines at Delano Ranches.
That was a great day. He had a lot of information, very well informed. He had his head jam-packed with statistics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very thorough. Just, the same people, the Mothers Against Chavez, but wherever they were, you know, same people, one from the other, came over and they wanted to talk to him. We were having a meeting at the Negrito Hall. And they were there when he made his speech, and so the camera's going to have, we had a press conference. And he put the union face me, of course. Then the ladies got up, you know, three of them, you know, three or four, maybe five. And told me, you know, that he was an actor and he shouldn't be getting involved. Somebody respected me. He said, well, I'm a human being. And they give me to be involved, and I think there's... He was very mild, but very, very...
Straight.
Very forceful. And he gives me a right to be involved. And,
I'm afraid I can do it.
Hmm?
It's not working. I've got to lift it higher.
No.
It's okay. I'll do it this way. I'll take this. I don't want it on the floor. Okay.
And,
well, Jim wasn't there.
So it was, you know.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
February 4th, 66. Grape strike, auto assailant gets jail term. That was Alfonso Pinera. Must serve 6 months in the county jail for running down three Southern Tulare County growers, John Zaninovich, Herman Nelson, and Harold Nelson.
He ran down three growers.
Mm-hmm.
John is still... you know, not crippled, but he's, you know, he's a permanent injury to his leg.
Really? The Nenovich?
Yeah. John.
Mm-hmm.
He plowed right into him.
Gee.
You know what
God. Filipino.
He's here.
Yeah.
He's here. Yeah. He said, I'm old, there's nothing to lose.
Huh.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah.
The powder keg for him. All the preaching we've done, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long gone.
Oh, sure. Sure, it would have been a killing. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah.
We preach and we cope. We have the when the one that day that Manuel Rivera was
run over.
There were half a dozen guns on the picket line. I know who had them, you know. I don't know, nobody told me, but I had an idea, you know. I just knew, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One, there was one Filipino by himself. Just going.
Did you get up again?
No, I was up for a long while in the chair, and then, you know, walked around. I just got into bed about 5 minutes ago. And this is by himself, you know. So I told Jim, we have to take care of, be careful, you know, because I knew.
Yeah.
Right? I went over and I talked to him. He was picking it by himself and getting close to the office. So I went over and I talked to him. And I could see, I mean, I could just see his face.
Mm.
So we started talking and he said, I said, gee, it's very sad that my nose went over. He says, brother, somebody got to be killed. You got to be taught a lesson. You know, and I said, I wanted him to say, no. Because see there's a lot of honor involved, an awful lot of it, you know. And then, you know, there's... Oh, not that it's not the same with the Mexicans, you know, sure it's the same, but we're more conditioned to it, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're older and they say, well, we got nothing to lose, I'm old, you know. And that also is a good indication of how strongly they feel for the cause, you know.
Sure.
I mean, how deeply.
Yeah.
But we've had... less and less of that. It's been, you know, we've been able to,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, serve like this. Because we've been winning.
Stay on time.
Yeah. If we had never had a victory, that's why If, for instance, we had never had a victory from...
Oh, yeah. Desperate.
Yeah, it would have been it would be a desperate situation at this point.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So thank God. It's a long time.
Boy, after 8 months, you were talking about the strikes becoming a way of life with us. Yeah. If you're talking that way then, what is it now?
Yeah. Well, I don't even... It's a becoming. I don't even know.
I don't even think of it anymore.
No.
What else is there?
No, that's right. This is life, you know. If they took the strike away from us, might as well take our lives away from us, you know, without a victory, you know. Like, I'm sure that, for instance, last week, 2 weeks ago, there was a meeting held, and Larry ran a meeting. Doris, we got all the strikers in the line together, and asked them how many of you are willing to stay without having the bills paid, because we, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just telling them because, you know,
maybe.
And everybody put up their hands, you know.
Yeah.
They said, well, you know, we'll stay with it. And this is tenacity, you know, this is the kind of thing that it takes.
Sure.
Because, you know, we're fighting more than the Delano strike in this one.
Kern Great picket lines. February 7th.
He picketed with us that morning.
It was kind of
cold. And he was in great spirit. And of course the people were really
turned on.
Oh yeah. It was a shot in the arm. It was really great.
Yeah.
And
where did he stay?
No, he just was here for a day.
Oh.
He came early, you know.
Yeah.
But he was, he's a very, very warm human being, you know, he's really quite something, you know.
Yeah.
Genuinely concerned, not only about the workers, but also about the scabs, you know. And he talked to some of the scabs. And they told him, he talked to some young ones, went into the field, and he said, we're not against the strike or the Welga, you know, or the union. But, you know, we gotta eat. And he got very good answers. And it's true, you know. It's true.
Yeah.
You see, that's the whole thing, is that they're not against it, you know. But we had a limitless fund with everybody on strike.
The People's Market and East Liquor Store agreed to remove the products from the shelves. But that was far out of the Stardust Liquor Store refused to cooperate.
That's the Shandy boycott.
Yeah.
We're bringing it to Delano.
Huh?
We were bringing it to Delano. This was only to change the tempo, you know. We would. Mm-hmm. I asked that we should pick at the stores after hours, you know. We'd come and eat and then go back. Those poor guys worked 12, 14 hours a day. Oh, one moment of inactivity would have destroyed everything. Mm-hmm. You know, start getting ideas and getting worried. You're in motion, you know, you're doing something.
Yeah, work is the opiote of the people.
Well, it's the February best
9th, 66, Alabama Rights Aid joins Delano Action, Stokely Carmichael. The snake has arrived here to meet the Cesar Chavez. Union officials have rented an office.
They came in at 3 o'clock in the morning. We waited, and we finally came in. There were about five young guys, and Marshall knew all of them. And we met over at the, remember where the clinic used to be, where Bill Bay used to live? Across from the, where you had your office during the...
Oh, yeah.
Over there.
Uh-huh.
Because the kid according to this.
Sure.
And they came about, it must have been about 2 or 3 in the morning. We had our first meeting with them. And we're talking about organizing farm workers in Florida, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to know how it was done. So we're, you know, trying to explain to them how we organize and how we thought it had to be done. And they were very impressed, you know. But that's why there were also a lot of other things that they were concerned about.
Yeah. And Carmichael was there.
Yeah. Carmichael and I don't remember the other names, but the marshals.
Then they just left.
Yeah, they left anyway.
Boycott headquarters, and also for clinic facilities under Peggy McGivern. Offices for Attorney Hoffman have been located on Albany Street. February 11th, ministers and laymen of Los Angeles Presbytery have voted 143 to 132 against supporting the grape strikers. February 14th to 66, field workers get gift of shortwave radio unit.
Oh, that gift
by Cornelius Hall on behalf of the San Francisco Labor Council.
That was for AWOL.
No, it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That wasn't the one that you got, but you used.
No, we bought, but the first set we had were lent to us by the Mississippi
Freedom Democratic Party.
No, the Labor. Yeah, oh. Freedom Democratic Party.
Yeah,
the other ones. I hope. I'm not sure. Marshall made those arrangements.
Yeah.
And then we finally bought these other sets and paid $1,100 and we're...
Yeah.
February 15th, fight erupts at picketed Delano liquor store. That's the Stardust incident. February 15th, anti-farm strike unit seeks recruits, the Kern Tulare Independent Farm Workers.
The fight in the liquor store, there was a guy... who was here, and we had gotten rid of him. He was a very good guy, but he ran away. I asked him to leave, you know. I said, you know, for your own good, because he can control himself.
Yeah.
And
he was working in the Kennedy campaign, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah.
And this clerk at the store would come and get his hook up his water hose and start wetting the women's feet as they were marching around, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we wouldn't say anything. Women would just go finally, silently by, you know. And he'd get a big kick, you know. So this guy came up to him, and I wasn't there. I just didn't smack his teeth out. Broke his jaw. Really put him in bad shape. Oh, I mean, he smashed it. Just one.
Oh, yeah, he's a husky guy.
He's a husky guy. Oh, he's like a mule. And that guy sued us still pending. We were deposed. Larry Idlin was deposed, and I was going to be deposed on him. And then, so there were pickets from both unions there. We were pretty much, you know, picking together by that time. And they ran out of time, so they deposed Chris Hartmeyer and then Larry Idlin, and I was there, and they didn't get to me. But then a few months later, because the deposition didn't start right away, the guy, the fellow embezzled money from the owner.
The same guy?
The same guy that was hit, you know. So he's sent up the river. And so he's in prison, or he's probably out. I'll be out pretty soon.
Yeah.
But the suit is there.
Still there?
Yeah. Marion?
Yeah?
Can you write, where's the book?
Right here.
You want to write in under Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
Suit to check with him on a suit about the regarding the Stardust fight.
Okay.
We
66 Senate body will study grape strike. Chairman Harrison said the subcommittee expects to invite testimony from workers and growers and citizens.
Oh.
February 26, 66, Delano strike gets support from Reed College in Portland. Students up there.
Do you want to talk about that other thing?
No.
That's
Father. That's Father Lazard and the Messina Quinn and the clergyman that came earlier.
Yeah.
Are now working. We're trying to, and we're getting it. That's the confirmation that we're going to get to hear.
Yeah.
66 grape strike probe hearings are set by Senate committee and Harrison committee for March March 14th. March 9th, the Georgia wins a round against the International Longshoreman Warehouseman. March 12th, 66, Chavez urges state act on farm labor. Said he's seeking farm labor coverage by Social Security, unemployment insurance, minimum wage laws, and bargaining provisions. March 14th, 1966, senators begin probe. Farm unionist warns drive will continue. U.S. Senate subcommittee began 3 days of hearings on the controversial subject of agricultural labor.
Which all it is just chocolate milk in the blender.
Oh, fine.
With an egg in it.
Oh, great.
Do you like some?
Chocolate?
Yeah. You don't like chocolate?
Mexican string strawberry.
That's French, you know.
You're not a Mexican, you're a gorilla.
Oh, I don't like chocolate. I'll eat Hershey.
Yeah.
No chocolate.
Who's there? Lead off witness. March 15th, Murphy Williams expressed shock at Linnell labor camp. Worst public housing I've ever seen, said Williams. March 16th of 66, 70 will join Delano strike march to Capitol.
And so the Kircher was the leadoff witness in that Harrison Williams.
In Sacramento, yeah.
Did
that's where I first met.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, he came by and he said hello, you know. We still weren't talking to one another too well.
Uh-huh.
But because Green was there.
Yeah.
And Green screwed it up.
Yeah.
They got him trapped, you know. Murphy trapped him. He produced letters where he had told growers, you know, that if they signed a contract with him, he would permit Bracettos to come in.
He wouldn't?
He would.
He would permit.
They signed a contract. He tried to deny it, you know, they made an ass out of him. They had the copies right there.
The farm workers and their wives will set out from here tomorrow on the 3rd to 17th on a 300-mile march to Sacramento.
You want to talk about how you received
the march?
Brainchild? Yeah.
Well, that's a long one.
Yeah. I know you were talking to me about it. Let's see. What are you talking to me about? Oh, I think as far back as when you came back to New York at the end of 65, you had that in mind.
I had it in mind for CSO, remember?
Or maybe when you came over to Arizona in 65, way back then in May. I think you had it in mind then.
I talked to you about it, to you, Dolores, once in CSO around 1958. 57 or 58.
Yeah.
58, that was. 57, I think,
is when I began to... But I remember it was 65, I think, you talked to me about.
See, the way it started was that, I thought that, it would be, we're fighting for the old expansion, remember?
Yeah.
And I was pretty mad that we couldn't get it, and I felt that we weren't dramatizing it. And when I started thinking, I started going through some of the things that Mexican people do, you know.
Yeah.
In groups, like where they dance, they have fiesta, they have autismo. You know, all these things where people very naturally come together. And I just made a whole list. I should have this someplace, I guess. It took me, you know, several months to just make a whole list of things where people bullfight, you know, things that would have came to, you know, because it was sort of traditional.
Yeah.
And someone had, the way I came to the march was out of procession. Mm-hmm. Someone had just come back and described me the posadas and the Virgen de Guadalupe, you know.
Down Mexico.
To Mexico, and the posada, they were for all that period, and I don't remember who he was describing how thousands of people were marching, you know, and I said, you know, we're part of that, you know, we are part of that, that's a natural thing for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't, the picketing runs against the grain, you know, you have a train to go through it, you have to reverse some kind of, you know, some kind of, you know, some kind of inhibition, I guess. But this one is a natural thing. And I began to travel with the idea. And I talked to you, Dolores, once. We were driving from Sacramento, from San Jose to Los Angeles. And we didn't make too much of it, except that I remember telling you and Dolores that, man, that's what she remembers it, that I wanted to go up to Calexico and put my back right against the wire, you know, and start marching until I hit Sacramento. Remember that? That's how I described
vaguely,
it.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, the idea wasn't completely grown. It was just in the beginning, but that was where it started.
I see.
And it started out of the need to dramatize the fight for the pension.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I went to the office in the city and I talked to them. But the ladies, they weren't paying attention. They didn't get no, they weren't even so good or bad. They just, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, someday. But, and then we got the law in 59, I think, or 58, whatever it was, 59?
Yeah, 59.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do it that year. And if we hadn't gotten it, I think by 1960, I would have pushed very hard to get all the old timers and start walking, you know. And then I read on the march, I read the march from, there was a big march in Mexico from Cananea, I think. The Cananea from Mines to Mexico City back in 19, pre-revolution.
No, the farm workers, Indians?
No, they were miners.
Oh.
And they were, you know, petitioning the government. They walked, they had this tremendous march. And then
well, the Indians used to do that too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Indian farm workers, they come from the mines.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
They still do it.
What did you say?
And
I don't know.
Then I read the march in Washington in 1934. What was it? The veterans.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When was that march?
Well, they had it. They had first right after World War I, 1921 or something like that. Yeah.
I read that
Coxey's
one.
Army.
Huh?
Coxey's Army.
Coxey's Army. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that one and.
Black Jack Pershing.
Yeah.
Or no. Was it Pershing?
Pershing.
No.
Was
it?
Yeah.
Or was it MacArthur?
MacArthur and Eisenhower were involved.
Yeah.
They guessed their tents or something. But I didn't want, they were stationary. And a lot of things went haywire with that thing. They were camping, they were staying there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that that wasn't a proper way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what happened with the poor people, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were stationary, and it becomes more difficult than when you were. See, when you're walking, you're doing something, and it's a natural organizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rhythm, you know. It's a very natural thing to walk, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a very easy thing to organize. Let's go, and everybody starts walking, you know, it's organized.
Yeah.
And you keep it organized. But to be there, you know, and not seeing any results, you have a goal, you know. And when you're walking, you have a goal out there that becomes a real challenge, and it puts all of the necessary elements to keep it going.
Of course, if they had gotten the number of people in that Poor People's March that they got in the march in Washington, you know, which was all, that was done.
Yeah.
But they had, 100,000 people in that.
But
they only had a few thousand in the Poor People's thing.
Yeah, well, that's also the other reason, that one was just one day. And people will come one day, but they won't come. The commitment doesn't extend to beyond that, you know.
Well, but they were all middle class people.
Yeah, sure. But but anyway, so that's where it started. And then we got the pension and I forgot about it. And then we struck here. And then I began to think. The idea was, I had read for the Red Army had marched, you know, all that tremendous, and they had organized, you know, the way they were marching.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, we are...
Where'd you read that? Snow's book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, what was the name of it?
Red Star Over
Red
China.
Red Star Over China, yeah.
Yeah.
It was very, you know, I didn't give enough detail, but enough to, you know.
Yeah.
I read that in December of 65.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I was trying to read material because I had the march in mind, you know.
Yeah.
And so, see that the worker was still not identifying with Delano that much like they're now today,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if we take it to them, that's why the march was planned, Porterville and around that way, you know, to hit the to hit the areas, you know, and then the stops were planned. So we had organizers ahead, organizers with us, and organizers behind us. And I think we did a very, very good job. Then the other thing was, and people got excited about, you know, then well, I knew we had to have a lot of discipline. And that was very orderly, well-disciplined. You know, we had nothing but praise. It was very, very good.
Yeah.
And then we made a sort of a procession with the masses we had and the services in between and the Virgin, and people just came out. Oh, I can recount some of the, remember the first day we left Delano, and that was the roughest spot was, we couldn't march all the way to Porterville. The first day we had to go to someplace. There was some suggestion, well, we march this far and we'll put a marker there and then we'll go cheating on things.
Yeah, smoke.
Thank you.
And then we'll
come. Is this a gift?
It was good. No. When I talked to
them. You
never drink
it. Yeah, that's why. If you were a real Mexican, you wouldn't drink it. You know it doesn't agree with you. Where'd it go?
Well, they'll teach you to have strawberry. We must drink strawberry.
Yeah.
And Mexican like strawberry tea. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there was one some suggestions when we were playing. You know, that, well, let's march as far as we know, and we'll put a marker there, and then we'll come back to Delano and to our homes. And the next day we get in the car, and I said, no, we do that, and we screw the whole thing. And, you know, there's a lot at stake. You know, we stay with the march. We go with it. We stay with it, we sleep, and we make it a true march. We don't walk back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
You know? Especially coming to our own home.
Yeah.
I said, at least until we've got it going, you know. See, we didn't really start hitting the march until that Sunday. That Sunday was a turning point for us. It was... I forget what day of the week it was when we started, but it was that Sunday that made it for us.
The following Sunday?
Yeah, the first Sunday of the march.
Uh-huh.
I think we've been marching 3 or 4 days. No, 14, maybe 3 days. But we hit the furthest we could. And some wanted to have march and then leave a few people there to leave sleeping bags and then bring their old people back. And I said, no. We've got to get into people's homes, and we've got to just... So, this poor lady in Ducor, very, very, very small community, very, very few Mexicans there. This lady opened her house, and we slept in the yard, and outside in the cars, and inside the house jammed. Oh, it was just... I was sick when I got there, you know. And now I know what happened with me, this illness I had, you know, I didn't know. But I had fever when I got there, the temperature, and my ankle was swollen, and I had blisters all over the, you know.
Just your feet?
Yeah. But the worst thing was that I had a swollen ankle, you know. And I was just shaking with fever.
Yeah.
And I had to get up the next morning. I don't know how in earth I got up the next morning to march, you know. Everybody was tired, but I was sick of it.
Yeah.
You know, I almost didn't make it to Blue Court. I was so much out of shape.
Sure.
And then I had so many things to do, you know, as I was marching, I would be planning, and then I didn't know how to march and plan yet. I hadn't worked that out, you know.
Yeah.
Finally, we got that worked out, so we just right down to the peak. But that lady, you know, she was there, you know, waving a little welcome flag, and all the troops coming in, you know, just smiling. And that lady, you know, in a little house, all of a sudden, they came, you know, just upside down. And then next day we were gone, and the house, when I go by now, it's very peaceful, you know.
Yeah.
But for that 24-hour or 12-hour period, it was just complete. Then that Sunday, we were marching it was somewhere near Linfield, and when we got into Lindsay, into Porterville, there was a group of people there waiting for us with the band, you know. And that was really great.
With the band?
With the band. And they marched with us, and we marched to the park, and that really gave us and them a lot of spirit. There were a lot, and mostly for the farm workers. And then they took us into their home. And that was the first test, you know. And we had more homes than we needed. They'd go, oh, I'll take three, I'll take two. And then there was sometimes somebody said, well, I'll take one more, you know. Well, I'll take another one, you know. And then, you know, the idea just sort of spread ahead, you know. Mail did a fabulous job of the events organization.
Yeah.
Very good.
Right. I told him I wanted to take my net.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you go about leaving the rear guard?
Well, see, we went to, I don't know, I remember the time exactly, but about a couple of weeks before the march, we went to Summerlin over at Ms. Quiroga's house, and we stayed there two or three days playing the march, and I went myself and some of the officers and some of the key staff, you know, went over there. The Lord was very mad with me because the plans were she was going to stay behind me. The idea was that the women were going to stay behind and picket.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, they held the line. They picketed and they did all the work after we got it. They did a good job.
Yeah.
Very good job. And some of the older men that couldn't go were left behind with them. And some of the people who got sick on the march were sent back, you know, for liability. The walking was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And they joined them. And the Lord was in charge. And we organized the march out there, and then we came back and we sat down with the women and we organized the picketing. And they had to picket and they could come and visit us on Saturday and Sunday,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was we took the area that we wanted to picket. We wanted to leave behind the demonstration, you know. So we went and we told the mother that ordinarily couldn't pick it, you know. This was an important, very important event that we needed their time for 3 weeks to help us pick it while we marched Sacramento. And it wasn't hard at all. See, the march has a lot of, you know, symbolism to it, you know. And then we made some flags. Remember the first day of Leno, it was no air, it was just, you know, no wind. And so I was disappointed because I wanted those flags to
fly.
But the second day we started picking up wind, and I could see the pictures, you know, that were taken.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the flags, you know,
mm-hmm.
flying.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, we have hundreds, thousands of pictures. John Lewis photographed the march for us.
Yeah.
And he gave us all the approves.
Okay.
Thousands of
stars. Yeah.
He must have shot.
He went all along with you, huh?
He walked double. That guy walked double the distance. He'd go that way, he'd go ahead, and he'd go in back, and go on the sides under a bridge on top of the telephone pole. All kinds of angles.
Yeah.
we had two brothers that went with us all the way. They were doing, you know, they on their own.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, big. And the march was planned over there, and then the stops were planned.
Yeah.
And we planned between 15 and 21 mile treks, you know, every day. And I remember that I was not convinced, and they were telling me, you know, that we could march with me. I thought it was too many miles, you know. I had no conception of how many miles. So we, I think I made Marshall get an army manual. And I think he got an army manual or a Boy Scout manual, something, and mm-hmm. showed me, you know, what they said about walking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to have some authoritative source, you know. And he had seen it, but I hadn't seen it. I wanted to be sure that this was... Because I thought that the most we do was 7 or 8 miles a day.
Oh, yeah.
I was, you know, I was...
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I can't commit myself to those many, you know. But...
No, what I meant, Caesar, was you said that, you know, your manual was organizing ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said that you were doing some organizing there so that somebody was left behind. It sounded like somebody... somebody wasn't left behind out of the original group to do that work, were they?
No, there were some people that were coming behind from the lane. See, we had Mel in front doing the organizing.
Uh-huh.
And then in back, we had various people, you know, not any one particular group, you know, but what we did was Mel would go ahead, do that organizing.
Yeah.
They would come in with a triato and the speech and the propaganda and just... People going to their homes, you know, they were told to organize.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay, we used to stay up on that half of the night, tell them, you know,
yeah.
tell them in their homes about the union and
sure.
homes about new movement.
Yeah.
And I said, feel happy and infuse them, you know.
Yeah.
And they did a beautiful, all our guys did a beautiful job. That would be, it wasn't any classroom kind of thing. We told every stride, and then the first few days they would report back to me, and I would say, we'd have a meeting before we started,
uh-huh.
and I asked them what were their experiences, and then some said, oh, I sit on the floor, and some said, oh, they gave me their bed. In most cases, oh, they gave us a beautiful breakfast, oh, they're fine, they're kind, you know, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And all of them would say, they don't know anything about our struggle. So that convinced them that they, and then they would ask questions that they didn't have answers for, and I would answer. And it all was done by working out the bugs. In about 4 or 5 days, we had most of the bugs worked out. So where the workers themselves, the marchers, you know, were pretty smart, you know, they could handle everything.
Yeah.
And so that didn't become a problem after a trip to 3 or 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then...
Just a longer picket line. After a while.
Yeah. Then after we and of course getting people committed, then also at that time we would try to get a committee of three committed, three men to carry the three flags, you know. There was the American flag, the Mexican flag, and the later white group.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had an AWOC flag that was, they asked if they could join, and some didn't want to. And our union said, yeah, sure. And they should be, and then they joined way back. I said, no, up in front with the other flag, you're part of the, you know, you're part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And Green had a lot of attention to keeping Larry and the others away. Larry and the Filipinos, they supported us beautifully throughout the march. You know, there were some Filipinos here that would drive every day to the march to take us at noon. At noon we usually had our...
No, I don't, man.
At noon we usually had
our car.
Where's your car? Is it right out front?
Right in front of the...
Oh, that's all right. It's too wet.
We had a... we had to eat out in the field, you know, out in the by roadside at noon. And most of the women, people from the plane. Filipino, there was a Filipino lady that fellow at Bender Camp to Georgia.
Yeah.
His wife took us sodas and sandwiches and goodies, you know, for days. She just drive and take. See, that's also part of the culture. I didn't know that, you know. It blended beautifully with the... You know, we did more organizing, more coming together with two groups in that march than any other.
But they didn't march along with you, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Andy marched all the way.
Oh, yeah?
Andy.
Oh, that's right. I've seen
Andy and his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, there were several fellow people marched all the way.
Yeah.
And then I began to, that's where I got to know Andy very well, you know. That's where Green came. I was just leaving Borderville. And I had this big swollen foot, you know. And I was walking on a cane. I was really in trouble. And Andy was walking with me. And Green came and said, Caesar, come over here, you know, one, you know. And I said, I can't walk. You want to talk with me, come over here. He got pretty upset. I said, come over here, you know. And I said, I can't, you know. If I go over there, I'm going to be left behind, you know. You want to talk to me? And he said, got a kind of left.
Is that right?
Then Andy came and said, you know, brother, I think you did the right thing. Don't let anybody push you around. That was his union, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I was his bone, brother, but look, I can't walk, you know. I'm walking in this march because, you know,
yeah.
I have to.
No,
but every step was a needle, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then Larry marched part of the time, but he became a real organizer. He was the Delano link, you know, carrying people over there and carrying people back, and carrying wives up to see their husbands and kids, and, you know, and sick people to the doctor. He did a very good job. And this wasn't part of the plan, he just working, so he did a good job. And then he demanded from Green that they give us a truck, you know.
Yeah.
And they got that little truck, you know, they walk it, that little...
Chuck wagon.
Chuck wagon. And they have coffee and tea, and it was great, you know.
Yeah.
And then we organized. Now, oh, there's a really big spread. You start a lot of people to get the real, all of it, but the water stops. We were having a lot of trouble with water because people wanted water, but we put the car where the water was. Then they'd break up the line, and some would march, and some would drink water. It was, you know, it was, you know, I would get away from the line. I called the street up. I had to get right in the car, and I'd look at the line, and it was all broken up. It looked nasty, you know, it looked, And every time that happened, you know, people, there's something happened to people. They were marching, when everyone was together, there was a lot of, you know, they could be singing and so forth, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the moment there was this interference, like water or going to the toilet or something, it wasn't unorganized. Then some would go ahead and some would stop, and it looked awful, but the people themselves felt awful. Because there was, you know, I couldn't realize why they, for instance, the ones in front with the flag wouldn't stop, you know, and the ones in, going with ladies going to the toilet, the men going to the toilet and getting out and matter and help because they had to run, you know.
Yeah. So it was all straggling out.
We organized it so we had stops, you know. And then the water, when we didn't have to drink water, we organized it to have water pass out. You have water cups, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pass it. And we just kept on walking and pick up the cup, you know. And then the car would go ahead and then we had John Scheuer. That was John Scheuer's job.
Water boy?
Give the lights.
Yeah.
See, it was almost 10 and it's raining and damp, and I think the guards are kind of, they're sitting in the car and it's kind of cold out there, so I think maybe you could go home pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't know what. What time is it?
It's almost 10 o'clock.
What time is it? 5 to 10?
Yeah, 5 to 10.
Okay, 10. So I'll finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began to organize ourselves, you know. And then also, when we stopped, you know, I made sure that we cleaned the whole place, you know, no litter, you know. And we were pretty tough about littering. And just things that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and pretty tough about getting into the, crossing the road, you know, or car stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those boosters did a beautiful job with these monitors. See, we elected Manuel Rastas from Miwok to lead the march. He was from Miwok.
Mm-hmm.
And he went as far as Porterville. Then he couldn't do it.
No.
He resigned.
Is that right?
Yeah. Huh. But by that time, the people know who they want, and so he elected Busto.
Oh.
He did a marvelous job. He got those guys shaped up just like that. Pete, Jorge, Zaragoza, Bustos, the other Bustos.
Mm-hmm. Macario.
Macario Bustos and Tony Mendez. No, not Tony. Who is? After about 4 or 5 days, they made their jackets. They made this red jacket, you know, so they could be seen. They had a whistle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a walkie-talkie, one in front and one in back. And they were really old, you know. And the big problem, the biggest problem when we talked to the Highway Patrol was cars coming, friends or foes, you know, stopping in front of us, you know. And we had near misses and accidents. Well, the first week, the first day we went to 20, where a car would come and they stop right on the road to talk to us, you know. Either, most of them were friendly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the car in back would just screech the brake, you know. They had an accident, they would plow right into the line.
Right, right.
So we began to assign the monitors
mm-hmm.
to the cars, you know.
Going.
And we just kept going. And if they wouldn't, they just blow the whistle and just get out of there, you know.
Yeah.
Until finally people began to understand, you know.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon they wouldn't come. It was very, very seldom.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of hazards crossing the road, you know. Or people just, people were marching, getting out to the, and the monitors would just, you know, crack the whip and get them right back in the
line. Yeah. You were on in the back roads for the most part, weren't you? You weren't on the freeway much, were you?
Yeah, we got on the freeway.
You did, huh? Right out on the freeway.
Yeah, right all the way from Fresno to Stockton.
Yeah.
Except going into town, of course, we get off, you know, but...
Then you come back on the freeway.
Come back on the freeway, that's how we got there.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very dangerous. Yeah. Very dangerous. That Madera, from Madera up, you know, extremely dangerous. We were walking way down.
Yeah.
Below, you know, mm-hmm. and it was like this.
I know.
Very dangerous. Thank God, you know.
Yeah.
And the freeway car stopping, you know. And the funny thing was that, you know, that there were so many people, like on Sundays, it was difficult to join the march. From the camp, from the distance you had to run, you know. So people who were smart would park way ahead and then cross the freeway and then join with enough time, be there, and then they start walking with us.
Oh, I see.
Most people wanted to go and start in the back. By the time they parked the guy across the freeway, we were a mile ahead of them.
Yeah.
They had to
yeah.
run, you know, to catch
them. Yeah. What would they do then? Have somebody drive their car up and meet them at the next town?
Yeah.
Or wherever you stopped?
Uh-huh. Well, there was a lot of work done by the union people where the people came in on weekends, you know,
mm-hmm.
to try to... The first weekend we began to try to solve it. And we would tell them, you know, the best thing is bring everybody to the march parking about a mile ahead or half a mile ahead. Make sure everybody crosses the freeway. If possible, cross the freeway in the car and park, you know, on this other side. Unload the people and then take the car and park it where you're going.
Oh, I see. So the car will be right up there.
Up there, yeah, instead of back.
Uh-huh.
And we had two trucks with us, and we offered rides back. And other cars, you know, we said, like, we should have a pickup. You know, on Sunday we get a whole full pickup full and bring it back to pick up the car.
Mm-hmm.
Car straggled. Yeah, all over the freeway, you know, for the joint and stuff in there.
Right on the freeway?
Well, no, you know, off the freeway, but, you know.
And on the other side of the fence? Or
no, on the freeway.
Right on the freeway?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
My God, didn't the law get after you?
No.
Is that right?
There, the Highway Patrol was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really good. We had to cross the freeway three times. You know, because for some reason we couldn't march on the left side, so we had to cross, you know. But there was no crossroad or anything, just cross it.
Yeah.
And they were really great.
They saw you.
Huh?
Were they following
all
you?
All were with us.
All the way.
Is that
right?
Oh yeah. They were us. There were two cars. And then every county we went to, we had Alex Gall, the sheriff, and the sheriff would come to another car. Yeah. We had in Fresno the police was terrific. there was a few towns where, but in most places they were like the sound series in Tulare County were pretty mm-hmm. bad. Mm-hmm. But in most counties it was very good. And the health control was very good. They offered a lot of protection, a lot of, you know. Mm-hmm. And that goes on and on and on, you know, but it's I can remember there's some tapes that were made, you know.
On the line?
On the line. And I speak on them a lot. Wait, are you telling me about those tapes? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can get up for you.
Right.
Remind me, yeah?
Okay.
Remind Leroy, I think, has them.
I've got the
email. And we have, I think there were four or five tapes made.
Right on the line?
Right on the line, yeah.